to take a few moments this morning to talk about, you know, I think Thanksgiving is a day that we should all practice. I didn't realize this, but in the Russian church, basically any day is Thanksgiving Day. There's no set day, and so every congregation sets the day that they want to make it a day of Thanksgiving unto God. And so often we complain about what we don't have in this country, but there are people, millions of people, who would give anything to swap their problems for your problems. I was looking at international statistics about how many children die of hunger every day. We have so much to be thankful for, do we not? Even when I preach at the city mission, I tell them they should be thankful for the city mission. A place to sleep, a place to have warmth and a shower, clothing, everything that you need. So I'm going to talk about Thanksgiving, turning it into thanks living. Amen? And I'm going to talk a little bit about, from the book of Psalms. You know, in this church, we are worshipers first. If you look at our statement of faith, we believe wholehearted obedience to the scriptures and zealous worship of the Lord our God. If you were here last night, you would have saw some zealous worship being done by zealots. It was just a wonderful, refreshing time to see young people. I was amazed. There must have been 7 or 8 young people up here from our church playing instruments and worshiping. It was just a wonderful time where they were taking their gifts and their talents and they were honoring God with it today. Amen? Our worship should be that. You know, we talk about Davidic worship. The Bible says in the last days, God's going to restore the tabernacle of David. Somebody said the tabernacle of David. We understand the tabernacle of Moses. 7 steps in the tabernacle of Moses. Each one of those steps leads you behind the veil. But I have good news. The veil has been ripped in twain. Hallelujah. We have access by faith to a new and living way. We can come with boldness, no shame in our face, to the throne room of grace by faith in Jesus Christ. That is really good news. You know, the people even some of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament, they long to live in your day and my day. May you never become so familiar with the presence of God that you become flippant with it. I have preached in over 400 churches in my life. And let me tell you, there's a lot of churches that are good people, but the presence of God is not there. There is no joy. There's no sense of God is in our midst. We must always protect that. When we look at the book of Psalms, it's a Hebrew word, tehillah. And it's really the book of songs. Amen? Psalms is I didn't say palms, but Psalms is the book of tehillah. The word tehillah is a Hebrew word. Matter of fact, if you come to our worship symposium, you're going to learn about the way of a worshiper. And this goes for every culture. It's the Bible. The moment you allow culture to triumph what the scripture says, you're in error. We honor God. We honor the word of God, even if it goes against my tradition. Jesus said the tradition of men makes the word of God of none effect. I'm not against tradition. I have my own tradition. But the moment it violates the word of God, there's an issue there. Let God be true and every man a liar. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. And so the word tehillah, we also was translated other times in Hebrew into English as a new song. I did a tehillah today. Worshiping God, part of worshiping God is not singing words that are up there. Not singing songs that you know or you're comfortable with. But a new song is a song you create. Jesus said the Father's looking for people who will do that, worshiping him in spirit and in truth. A new song is that you become so overwhelmed with the goodness of God's grace that you just start to create a song yourself. Anybody ever make any tehillas? I did it this morning. I didn't just sing those words up there. I closed my eyes and I just started offering up the sacrifice of praise. It's the fruit of my lips. And I just started to thank him and bless him and creating a new song from here out. That's what we do. Eventually, the sacrifice of praise should lead you to the sacrifice of thanksgiving. The sacrifice of thanksgiving leads you to a God awareness, a God consciousness, not just songs. Look, I love stirring up my emotions. I love to, you know, it's okay to have emotions in worship. I don't think God wants us to be emotional, but we have emotions. The Bible says in the days of his flesh, Jesus Christ lifted up prayers with strong cryings. Before he went to Golgotha, the Bible says that they sang hymns together. They sang the Psalms together. When you sing the Psalms, you do what's in the Psalms. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God. Worship him. All those different seven Hebrew words that you learn about in this worship symposium, this worship soma class. So, are you okay? Let me read from Psalms 107. Whether you know it or not, I am a worshiper before I'm a preacher. 1986, I was in a conference. My wife was there. My children were there. About 5,000 musicians in Washington, D.C. I know. The Waltzers were there, too. I didn't see them. They were probably hiding somewhere when they saw me. And that was the year, 1986. I left that conference, and I made a commitment to God. I will be a worshiper before I ever become a preacher. Ministering you is okay. Ministering to God, that's where it's at. You know, the great revelation of Martin Luther, the father of Reformation, was the individual priesthood of the believer. Each believer has a responsibility to move into their priesthood. We're a royal priesthood today in the new covenant. Hallelujah. We're a nation of kings and priests. And that's the way God always wanted it in the very beginning. And so Psalms 107 verse 8 says this. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. You see that word thanks? Can anybody see the word thanks? It's the Greek Hebrew word yada. Yada is a Hebrew word that means to lift your hands like this. Pastor Fink, are you saying that you're going to lift your hands in church? Yes. Get used to it. This is not worship. You got a problem with pride if you cannot lift your hands before God. I'm being honest with you. This is not cultural. This is biblical. If you cannot lift your hands before God, in fact, the psalmist said, your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise thee. I will lift up my hands, yada, unto your name. It is okay to lift your hands. If you struggle with lifting your hands in church, you have a problem with being more self-aware than Christ-aware. Pastor Fink, you're being very difficult. We're talking about Thanksgiving. Yada. It not only means, this is where it gets really difficult for some of you. This is, we're going over the edge, over the pale. It means to lift your hands and to throw them forward. Go to the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. You'll see the same thing. The Jews stand up by the wall and they're crying out to God doing this. Why? I don't know. Me, I would kind of go, dude, just break it up a little bit. But that's what it means. Yada. It means to lift your hands and to throw it forward. We should all yada the Lord. Amen. Oh, that men would give yada to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of man. Psalms 107, verse 8. We should be a thankful people. We should always give thanks. I heard the story of this lady was a new convert, came to the church, and she needed counsel from the pastor. So the pastor met with her, and before they even counseled, she just was repetitive with thanking him for counseling. And finally he said, we haven't even started yet. She said, well, I just want to thank you before we start. And he says, okay, I take it. She said, well, my husband said he'll kill anybody who counsels me, so I just want to thank you before we even do anything. You'll get it. Come on, we move on here. Psalms 107, verse 22. Says, let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Once again, tada, the extending of hands in adoration. Let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Man, I tell you what, I was rejoicing last night. You know, you can express worship not just with singing, not just with instruments, but even there was a wonderful song that was signed to last night. The only thing I know is this. That means you're crazy. That's the only one I know. Double crazy. Can I tell you something? Hands are important in Davidic worship. When I say Davidic worship, I mean according to the Psalms. Hands are important. And so use them. Actually, there's 9 different expressions of your body that you could use in the Psalms of how to worship God. You have to come to the seminar to learn it. You know, it's been said that talk is just cheap. And I believe that we need to turn thanksgiving into thanks living. Every single day when you put your feet on the ground, you should offer up the sacrifice of praise to God. If it's only that you woke up in a warm bed, if it's only that maybe you have milk or food or something, give thanks God for. I mean, thanks to God for. Amen. So I think if we're really truly thankful to God, it should be seen in our lives. I remember when my children were very small and we had went to a restaurant. And we hadn't been to a restaurant in a long time, but we didn't have the money. So we were sitting in a McDonald's. I don't go to McDonald's anymore, but I do like Five Guys. I'm just putting it out there anyways. And I remember sitting in a circle with my children and my wife, and we prayed over French fries and a hamburger. And I remember a man was watching us. He came over and he said, "I have never seen anybody pray in public, first of all, let alone pray over McDonald's foods." I said, "Well, we hadn't had a hamburger. We were pretty tight back in those days." But it's just the idea that our life should display your attitude wherever you are should always, it's not wrong to say, "Well, praise the Lord." It's not wrong to say, "Thank you, Jesus," when somebody does something nice to you. Let them know that you have an attitude of gratitude and it's about Jesus. It's okay when I go to New Jersey and people, I know their Islamic faith, and they have to pump their gas. You can't pump your own gas. And I always say, "Well, praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you for doing that and giving my money." And why not? Give thanks with a grateful heart, the Bible says. Hallelujah. You know, Shakespeare said this, "How sharper than a serpent's tooth is it to have a thankless child?" You hear that, kids? You hear that, Eldon, in the front row? Okay. It's sharper than a serpent's tooth. Always be thankful. Always tell mom and dad thank you for even the little things of life. I remember that I went back when I was about 30, and I apologized to my father about some of the rebellious actions that took place when I was younger. And he said, "You're just stupid." "What?" And he said, "You just were stupid, that's all." He said, "I don't hold it against you. Stupid is not something you hold against somebody." I felt really vulnerable after that one. But let me just give you real quick, just 5 spiritual sacrifices for this Thursday, Thanksgiving. I encourage you that before you divulge into turkey or whatever you celebrate with on Thanksgiving Day, that you take time and pray and go around your table and thank God for at least one thing, each of you. What we do at our house is we have that non-alcoholic little wine. It looks like wine, but it's really grape juice with carbonation in it. And we will take our little cup, and each of us have to say something that we're thankful to God for. This is Thanksgiving week. There's nothing worse, nothing sharper, not even a serpent's tooth, than a person who will not acknowledge a thankful act. Amen? First thing, 5 sacrifices real quick. First one is the sacrifice of a person. Sacrifice of person. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." The NIV says your reasonable service of worship. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Living sacrifice means your personhood, your body. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren." You know, it's kind of as if God is beseeching or pleading with us. I believe that God's calling each of us to give ourselves to Him. When you got saved, the truth of it is, by faith, you no longer belong to yourself. You've been crucified with Christ. That's a biblical perspective, amen? And I believe that there's 3 ways that you can give yourself to God. Number one, you can give yourself voluntarily to God. Nobody can make you do it. You have to choose. For me in my house, I've decided to follow Jesus. The cross before me, the world behind me. I've decided to follow, just voluntarily, just giving it up. Hallelujah. And then giving yourself completely unto God. You know, we have quarter gospel, half gospel, full gospel commitments. I believe that God wants all of us. It says in Joshua and Caleb that they wholly followed the Lord. I don't believe God's looking for a half a commitment. I thank God that I'm convinced my wife is committed unto me. I would have a struggle if I thought she was just 10% committed or 30% committed. We are committed to each other. And by the way, I taught my children that the word commitment means love. Don't tell me you love me if you're not committed to me. Don't tell me you love me if you're not there to help me. Love is commitment. I meet men all the time. I see them on TV every once in a while. I know I shouldn't do this. I watch Maury. I didn't say Jerry Springer. I said Maury. And it amazes me how people go on there. They say that they love their wives. They love their husbands. And yet they cheat. They do all kinds of... That's not love. Love is a commitment. You love me? I can tell you what. I know my wife loves me. If I got stuck in China, she had no car, airplane, she'd get a shovel. Believe me. And she would find me. Voluntarily, completely, giving yourself completely to God. You know, sacrifices don't have any plans of their own. Sacrifices are slain. Are you with me? So we need to die to our own ways. As you come into a deeper relationship, a deeper intimacy with Christ, your own ways don't seem to matter that much. For me to live is Christ, and to die is to gain. And so I believe that God's looking for people who will wholeheartedly commit themselves unto God. Dale Moody, one of the great revivalists, said the world has not seen what God could do with one person wholly committed to him. Just one person. So I want to be with that one person. Hallelujah. Voluntarily, completely, continually. I believe that commitment is a daily thing. I woke up this morning. I didn't get to bed, just fall asleep about 12, but about 4:30, I got up, and I remember putting my feet in the ground, and I said, Father, this day I commit myself unto you. You know, the Bible says, commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He'll do it. You commit yourself unto the Lord. You know, it's kind of like putting money in the bank. Once you go to the bank and you put your money in there, the bank teller has the money, you've committed to him. I don't think you sit home and worry, oh my goodness, did that teller deposit that or not? I'm not sure. Are they going to go bankrupt, FDIC? I don't know. You put it in the bank and you forget about it. Put your problems, commit your way unto the Lord, forget about it. Trust also in him, he'll do it. Amen. Worrying will never change a situation or circumstance. In fact, worry is a form of fear, which is sin. Hallelujah. Continually, a daily thing, daily giving ourselves to God. You know, the New Testament sacrifice is compared to the Old Testament animal sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they sacrificed animals. In the New Testament, we sacrifice ourselves the way I feel. It's the sacrifice of praise. I don't feel like it. Well, sacrifice. I'm tired. Me too, sacrificed. It's the sacrifice of praise. David talked about when he brought the Ark of the Covenant back from the Philistines, he wanted to make a sacrifice. He said, I will sacrifice nothing that doesn't cost me something. It's a sacrifice when it costs you something. Your opinions, your feelings, your attitudes, what people think about you. It's the sacrifice of praise. Do you know there's power in praise? Especially when you sacrifice your feelings, it is a sacrifice. It's easy to do it here because we all believe the same thing, basically. But go into areas or venues where it's not popular and then sacrifice praise. It's the sacrifice of praise. It's the sacrifice of praise. It's the sacrifice of praise. You know, in the Old Testament, the way they bound the sacrifices to the altar, they used these flesh hooks that would hold the animal down so it couldn't get off the altar. Well, I know there's two flesh hooks for me. Number one flesh hook that keeps me on the altar is my devotion, my love for Jesus. I really do love the Lord. Anybody else here? I'm not saying I don't sin, but if I sin, I have an advocate with the Father. I understand. I've come to learn the width, the height, the breadth, the depth, the length of his love. And that devotion just keeps me on that altar of sacrifice. That song that the Purdy sang this morning was a wonderful indication of the price that was paid for your freedom and my freedom. That kind of stuff keeps me on the altar. Answered prayer, reminding myself, stirring myself up the good things that God has done for me is a devotion that keeps me in love with Jesus. And then there's a discipline. You got to develop godly habits. You know, your habits, if I could follow each person in this room and look at your habits, I'll tell you your future. Developing, disciplining yourself unto godliness is something you do. You must take your flesh by the ear and say, we are going to read the Bible. I am going to pray this morning. I am going to make my confessions of faith. This day sin will not have dominion over me. I am blessed and I am not cursed. Say whatever you want, because there's an unseen realm and there are keys that unlock the blessing of God in that unseen realm. And it starts with your devotion. It starts with your discipline. I believe, therefore, I speak. It is important to continually say the same thing the Word says. It's not a teaching. It's a lifestyle. It's a discipline. Hallelujah. Amen. That devotion and discipline will keep you bound to the altar of God and the living sacrifice. So you got to offer thanksgiving unto the Lord. Declare it. I always declare anything before I give it, get it, as though I've got it. That's not lying. Faith believes that it receives before it sees it. Amen? Hallelujah. And so here's the second sacrifice, the sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13, 15, not only the sacrifice of our person, but the sacrifice of praise. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You see that word thanks, giving thanks? It's a Greek word that is the word homologio. Also means a confession unto his name. Part of my biblical worship is I make confessions unto his name when I'm in his presence. Oftentimes early this morning, I lift my hands up. I was singing, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run therein are safe. I thank him that he is my healer. He is my peace. He's my joy. He's my very present help in time of trouble. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob. He's my refuge. He's got my children. He's got my future. I'm secure in Christ. It doesn't mean that I'm problem-free. It means that he's with me. And he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. We are a blessed people. Blessed does not mean you don't have stress. It means you have a supernatural ability to triumph over adversity because you're blessed. I'm blessed. Amen. Not problem-free. We eat problems like we do Wheaties. Do they still have Wheaties? I don't know. My grandson, he eats life cereal all the time. So I don't even know if it's out there. Let us, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, making confession unto his name or giving thanks unto his name. You know, I have to tell you this in all honesty. God would just as soon have your praise and thankfulness than he would your money. Psalm 69:30 says this, I will praise the name of God with a song. And I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bull, which has horns and hoofs. Well, what was an ox or a bull worth in Bible days? About a Cadillac today. If you had an ox, your own ox, you were considered pretty wealthy. But the sacrifice of thanksgiving is greater in value than that of a Cadillac, a car, a home, a great job. It's a sacrifice. I will praise the name of God with a song. Now, I don't know who wrote that song today, but that was a beautiful song, was it not? We sang that old hymn, Jesus Paid It All. I think that every person in this room, you could create your own song. I do that sometimes. I'm not a poet, and I know it. That was a rhyme, and that's not even a crime. But anyways, let's move on. I write songs myself. I have never sung them publicly. I have many that I've written. And they only can be sung with an accordion. Thus, I don't bring it to church too often. Hallelujah. I was telling a couple of people a story about accordion. I love the accordion. In fact, when I was younger, somebody put a cartoon under my door in my office. And it was a cartoon of everybody who went to heaven got a harp. Everybody who went to hell got an accordion. I don't know who did that to this day. But if I find out. You know, some accordions are very, very expensive. The new ones today, they're actually all electrified. And they don't even do this no more. They put them on a stand. They're MIDI, like over here, like a computer. And you could put trumpets in there and drums in there, do everything. Heard the story about this guy. I mean, some accordions are $8,000 or $10,000, electric ones. And this guy was traveling down I-95, and he had to stop in Newark to get some gas. He was hungry. So he goes into, like, a Burger King. And he was worried about the crime in that area because it looked pretty rough. So he backs his station wagon, and that's before we had vans. for you younger people. Station wagon. Anyway. So he backs his station wagon where he can eat his food and he can look out and see his vehicle. And as he's eating, he hears glass break. He runs outside. To his surprise, the back window was broken out of his car. He looked in. Somebody had thrown another accordion in there. For you people who have heard that before, sorry. Well, I told it to a couple of Japanese people. Didn't get it at all. Because they don't know what an accordion is. I didn't think about explaining it to them. Anyways, I love the accordion. So we're talking about the sacrifice of praise continually. I like the Psalms 34:1 says this, I will bless the Lord at all times. The word bless, barak, it means to bow down your knees, get on your knees, and to give praise and worship and adoration to God. That's a biblical form of worship. Kneeling is a biblical form. Do you know that standing is a biblical form of worship? So we'll see that during the seminar. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. And then the third one is this pre-Thanksgiving weekend, the sacrifice of prayer. Jesus said, my house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations. Psalms 141 says this, let my prayer be set before you as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. We know on the Moses tabernacle that every evening the priest would come in and they would shake all the ashes out of the coal, put fresh coals in there, and a new sacrifice, fresh incense. And so he said the lifting up of hands is like the evening sacrifice. It is a sacrifice. I've said this before, but when I first decided to raise my hand, I was in a church, and people were raising their hands, and I'm thinking, I'm not raising my hands. You saying the same thing, Russ? Is that what you're saying? I heard over there. And so finally, after about 3-4 weeks in this church, I decided I would raise my hands. But I was standing in chairs like this, and so I had my hands below the seat where you couldn't see it, you know. And everybody else is like this. I'm down here like this. I'm like, this is not that bad. I can do this. Then I felt convicted, so a couple weeks later, I have them like this, just above the top, like I was, you know, doing the walrus thing, you know. And so finally, I got my hands up to here. I remember that day. As soon as I got them up, I thought the whole church was going to stop and say, look! And the problem was I was so self-conscious, I was not Christ-conscious. I'll lift my hands anywhere today in front of anybody because I know whom I have believed in. I'm persuaded he's the only one who's able to keep me against that day. And so it's this sacrifice of prayer. It's like the evening, lifting up of hands and praying is like the evening sacrifice. Here's the sacrifice in Psalms 141:2. Prayer is an incense before God. It's in the book of Revelation, also in Isaiah chapter 6. There is a transition in the spirit realm. Look, we are influenced by things you can't see. Are you with me? The Bible says the world which you see was created by things you can't see. That's why I really am convinced there is angels here in this room with us, because the Bible says so. I don't have to see it to believe it. I believe what the scripture says. I've never seen an angel. I've had people who've said when I've preached in different places around the world, they've seen someone standing over me. I've never seen it. But whether I see it or not, I still believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe that he is there with me. But prayer is as incense before God. In the book of Revelation, when one of the seals are open, there's an odor that comes out. It says the prayers of the saints. You go to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah sees from the inside of the tabernacle of God. And the Bible talks about there's an incalculable number of angelic beings declaring God is holy. Come on, how many remember? Holy, 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 holy. John picks up in the book of Revelation, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And the Bible says in Isaiah that when they were confessing that, the whole room filled with smoke. And so there was a smoke that came out underneath the eastern gates. And it said the walls, the gates started to sway, lose their molecular structure. That's the power of what we don't see. I believe that when we praise, the Bible actually says that God's enthroned upon the praises of his people. I believe this morning God was enthroned. I don't see his throne, but I believe what the Bible says. That's why if you only sing a song from your head, you don't get anything but goosebumps. You sing from your spirit. You create a new song. You bring a sacrifice, a living sacrifice unto God. God inhabits that. And from that high and lofty place, God says, boom, there it is. He inhabits as our praise. I like to start my day off like that. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. Did you offer any sacrifice, any incense this morning? Let my prayers be set before you as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Here's the fourth one, the sacrifice of possessions. Hebrews 13, 16 says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. Do good and communicate, forget not. Do good, communicate, and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. That word communicate there, it means, it's a Greek word that means to be generous. It means to be, have a free spirit in giving. It means to distribute. It means to share. The writer of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16 is talking about sharing what God has given you with other people. My wife and myself got a revelation of that because I grew up with parents who were like that. I grew up with very giving parents. I didn't realize what they were doing. My father told me, he said, you will never go broke, son, by being kind to other people. Amen. It's what we do as Christians. How can you say you have the love of God if you see a brother in a need? And you shut up the bowels of your compassion, the sacrifice of our possessions. Now, you can show your thanksgiving by sharing with others what God has blessed with you. Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. You know why me and my wife like to have a lot of people over our house for Thanksgiving? I have had in my house in Greenville as many as 70 people come to my house. Weren't you uptight? Not at all. Just put a little bit more water in the soup. I have an apartment upstairs. The kids would go upstairs and play games and eat their food and make a mess and be down there with the, I'm cooking and I'm just having a really good time. And when they leave, yeah, it takes a long time to clean up, but my wife and myself, we like to give to people. I don't know what it is. I think somehow we're becoming more like Christ. God so loved the world. The gospel is about people. When you love people, you just give to people, even if they don't give back. I don't even care. When I was younger, if I scratch your back, I was waiting for you to scratch my back. Now if I scratch your back, I usually get kicked in the back. But I'm still going to scratch your back anyways. Hallelujah. More blessed to give than it is to receive. Paul in Philippians 4:19, you know, we talk about using that as a scripture for prosperity, but really in the context, it was talking about giving to missions. Paul received a missionary gift from the church at Philippi, and he wrote back to them. And he said this, he said, the gifts that were sent from you were a sacrifice, acceptable and well-pleasing to God. I don't have to let my left hand know what my right hand does when it comes to giving, but the principle is you give, it's given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall other people give to you. I don't give to get, but I'm going to tell you something. Whenever I give, I have more than an abundance. I don't know how it works. The attitude, I'm going to give so I get something back, is a wrong attitude. I give because that's who I am, because that's who God made me be, and I appreciate it. I love. I didn't know that I would, years ago when I was a young man, a guy prophesied over me. His name was Vaughn Gerald. I was probably 33 years old. He prophesied that I was going to be known as a Tentecostal. I never even heard of such a thing. That I was going to have tents. I'm Pentecostal, Tentecostal, anyways. And I don't know how many tents over the years have been given to me. A couple years ago, I sent a 1,000-seat tent to Russia. We got tents over here, 2 tents. I'm sewing one to Zimbabwe. I can't even tell you how many tents over the years. I met a guy speaking at a Full Gospel Businessmen meeting. He owned a tent company. And he would call me up every year. I got 3 tents. You want some tents? I'll take all the tents you got. And then I had to go around to preach. Anybody want a tent? I've had the same problem with cars. I think I've given close to 30 cars away in my life. At one time, I had 4 cars in my driveway. I'm asking people, would somebody take a car? Please, get it out of my driveway, because you have to have license plates on them, you know. And so I don't know how it works. I don't try to figure it out. I just try to live a life of giving, and it reveals that I have a heart of thanksgiving. Amen. Look, at the moment you allow something to possess you, you have a problem with it. I remember years ago, somebody in our church, another church, had gotten a beautiful car, and they testified, the Lord has blessed me. Oh, this is the Lord's car. Oh, what a wonderful, the Lord's car. So I said, hey, can I borrow your car? No, it's the Lord's car. Apparently only Jesus can drive it, because he wouldn't let nobody else get in the thing, you know. The last one, and we'll close this morning, getting ready for Thanksgiving. I want the team to come up. I want to do a song of sacrifice. The sacrifice of purity. The sacrifice of purity. Psalms 51:17, David said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Having a broken and contrite heart or purity, that's the sacrifice that God is looking for this morning. David had sinned. What was it that broke David's heart? He came to the realization after Nathan confronted him, it was that he said, against thee, O God, have I sinned. Ultimately, our acts of disobedience, you know, sin is not just doing wrong things. Sin is not knowing to do the right thing and not doing it also. Look at it. Let me just say this about sin. I don't have it all figured out. But if you think you need to have every sin you've ever committed confessed before God will bless you, you're in trouble. You can't even remember them. Some of you would need a terabyte on your hard drive just to remember some of the sins that you committed. Pastor Fink, will there be people in heaven with unconfessed sin? Absolutely. Sometimes I sin, I don't even know I've sinned. But if I do sin, the moment I become aware of it, then I confess it unto God. I turn from that. Amen? When David sinned, he said he sinned against God. And ultimately, all sin goes back to God. If I speak unrighteous words to my wife, you've sinned against God. If you rob from God, you've robbed against God. You've sinned against God. Acts of anger and speaking unrighteously ultimately go back. Your sin is against God. If we can keep that in perspective, adultery is a sin against God. Pornography is a sin against God. All those things ultimately are a sin against the God who loves us. I don't want to sin against God, even if I do sin, because it goes against my nature. Are you with me? Before I got saved, I would sin, didn't even bother me. Now if I do the same thing, anything close, it really bothers me. Matter of fact, I was with somebody counseling this week, and I said to them, they weren't sure because of a sin they had committed, if they really were born again. I said, if you weren't born again, it wouldn't be a struggle. When you are born again, when you know Jesus and you fall short of his glory, and it bothers you, that's a good indicator that you have been born again. You're not perfect, but you're striving against sin. You're standing against sin. And we all do that. Amen? So what led David to brokenness was not his badness. In closing, it was his goodness. God's goodness. Paul said that the goodness of God leads to repentance. So often we look at our sin and we become blinded by our sin. Let's turn to God. Let go of all sin. Because sin always costs you more than you want to pay. Sin will always take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. But we can turn to God this Thanksgiving. If you've not had an attitude of gratitude, can I just be honest with you? That is sinful. It's prideful. It's you saying, I trust in me. We should acknowledge all that we have, his hands have provided. Great has been his faithfulness. God's goodness leads us to repentance. I want to say he's good. And his mercy endures forever. Even when I fall short, he's good, and his mercy endures forever. Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't understand what's going on in my life, he's good, and his mercy endures forever. If I fall forward now. If I stumble to my knees, and I go before a holy God. This Thanksgiving, let's make it a day, let's make it a year of thanks living. Everything, in everything, give thanks. Paul said, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's stand up.